on SOFpodcast.com, iTunes, and on Square One Football Radio. This is The Sound of Football.
Another Sound of Football. Yes, well, the dust has settled after the last week's shenanigans of the World Cup draw. I'm sure you were glued to your set or your Twitter account just to find out what was going on as it happened. Or maybe you just nonchalantly got the train home and just found out off the 6 o'clock news.
I'm always nonchalant on the train.
Are you?
Yeah.
Yes? Is that so you can get an empty seat next to you?
Yeah.
Yeah? Mm. You know, I'm sure it works.
Never.
Never. Have you noticed Terry? He's wearing a scarf to the podcast.
You are.
I've got a chilly neck.
It's a very fetching scarf.
Well, thank you very much. Look, it's got bits on the end as well. Look.
Yeah, it's very nice.
Which is a perfect radio job.
And you've got your open neck shirt going on there.
Yeah, I mean this is a warming scarf rather. It's not a cravat.
There is an air of Jason King about Jan, isn't there?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, that's a compliment if you don't know who Jason King is.
I don't.
Right, last time I wore a scarf, then you'll go, I like that. I like that look, you'll say to yourself.
Last time I wore a scarf indoors, my good friends that look like Quentin Crisp.
That's less complimentary, I'd say. I think Jason King is a little bit.
Were you wearing a floppy velvet hat at the time?
With a massive feather in it, yes. I was.
That may have had some more to do with
it. Maybe it wasn't the scarf he was referring to. I don't know.
Well, all this talk of sartorial elegance isn't really getting us any closer to
the topic of the day, but it's killed nearly 2 minutes. It's all right.
Yeah. Well, if you can remember back to last Friday, you may have been wearing a scarf yourself while you were watching. I don't really wish to pry. But what have you lost there, Terry?
I've lost my beer.
Oh, yeah, what's your beer?
I've lost my beer as well.
I've lost my beer.
Well, I'll tell you what.
There's usually beer.
I can't do this without props.
Is
this?
You talk to the phone. I'll head to beer fridge and I'll get some beer.
Excellent. All right. Well, I'll tell you what we'll do then. Okay, well, so where were you when the draw was being...
Where was I? Do you remember where you were?
When the World Cup draw was being done.
No, I forgot all about it.
Well, it was quite a sombre day, actually, wasn't it, in many other respects, of course, because a great man left us. And I guess to an extent, you know, I don't know, my thoughts were certainly... It was the day after Mandela's passing, wasn't it? And I think that to an extent, my thoughts were kind of elsewhere to a certain degree.
Yeah, I think that was slightly more important world event than
absolutely.
This.
I don't know whether or not that was reflected or not in the draw, because I don't know whether or not it was any more, not so much sombre, but perhaps a little bit more downbeat, but and I didn't see it, because I myself was elsewhere when the draw was on.
It was during working hours, wasn't it?
Kicked up about 5 o'clock, which, I mean, I finish early on Friday, yes, I finish at five, but that's no good to me, so... Anyway, we are...
Oh, look, we've got beer.
We've got beer.
Blimey. Yes. And we're back in the room.
I don't think anyone noticed that.
No.
And seamless.
I presume you can cut all of that out, but...
Well, the show itself was I think a bit more subdued than previous ones have been. There was the normal accompanying nonsense, but because it was all in Portuguese, they didn't bother starting it when the actual show started, so they just cut into it about half an hour in.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, well, maybe they listened to the viewers from years gone by and say, for God's sake, spare us the rest of the garbage and just get to the draw.
Yeah, and so...
It was Jonathan Pearce who was doing the draw, wasn't it?
Jonathan Pearce, yes, he was. It was, and actually, he made a better fist of it than Motti did about that time. But, you know, he couldn't really have done any worse.
No, I think Motti's...
Poor Motti.
Yeah, but the worst one was 2006, wasn't it?
Yes.
That was a terrible draw. Because he was watching it, and that was a draw that was... I think it's England.
Yes.
Is it England? Yes, it's England. Yes, John, it's England. He's been holding the piece of paper up for ages now. Of course it's England. Anyway. Sorry about that, Motti, if you're listening.
Yes.
I'm sure he is.
I don't think he's listening.
It seemed to go reasonably smoothly, considering how convoluted the whole affair was. I mean, if you listened to us last week, it was actually made even more complicated from what we did, because instead of France being drawn out, there was they were just in the pot with everyone
pot
else.
X.
Yes, which meant that I think it was Italy, wasn't it, that were drawn out from
that's right
from
yeah, because they selected the UEFA nation that wasn't seeded that was going to be into Pot X or something like that.
Yes.
I don't know. It was rather convoluted, but then they always are.
Oh yes, they are.
Because they have to consider the seedings, they have to consider the confederations, making certain that everything's cut up and get into various different places and suitably stitched up, if you'll pardon the expression. So yeah, I mean, it was, but nevertheless, the draw was made.
Yes, and
we know who everyone is playing.
Yeah,
Geoff Hurst pulled out England.
Geoff Hurst indeed pulled out England.
So it's now destroyed all the good work he did in 1966.
I think there is.
That's as good as forgotten.
Yeah, I think the Sun's already asked for his knighthood back.
Yeah,
it's
almost treasonous.
Are we unhappy? Or is it consensus that England have got a bum draw? Because
I think they
could have done worse, but yeah, they could have done better. They could have got France's draw, which was quite...
Well, listeners, if you don't know, which, there's no reason you should, but, Group D, D for death, as everyone has pointed out, is Uruguay, Costa Rica, England and Italy. So England start their campaign against Italy.
In the jungle.
In
the jungle. This is the key narrative for the next 6 months, listeners.
Yeah. I've got to try and find a I'm a Celebrity bumper there, haven't I? Really?
Yeah, you have.
I hope that they make them eat horrible animal body parts and Anton Deck actually do the commentary.
Yeah, and not Witchetty Grubs, because there's a shortage of them, isn't there, or something?
Is there really?
I heard that. That's what they haven't been eating them this time
around. Oh, right. Oh, really? Oh, I didn't realise that. Well, anyway, I'm a Celebrity is in Australia and we're talking about Brazil. But nevertheless, when it comes to sort of ignorant sort of like English stereotypes, we're all across that. And of course, England will be in the jungle for that game.
We will be in the jungle.
Which everyone's not happy.
And local time, it kicks off here about 11 o'clock in the evening.
It was going to be 2. Was that the one that was going to be 2 o'clock?
It was going to be 2 o'clock and they moved it.
But it's on a Saturday, isn't it, anyway?
Yeah.
It wouldn't have made any difference.
It wouldn't have made much of a difference
because the next day was a Sunday, so we didn't have to go.
But the match was moved because it was swapped with Ivory Coast, Japan.
Oh right, probably a little bit more agreeable to the Japanese.
Not so much for the Ivory Coast.
No, but they're all poor down there, so who cares? Eh?
Yes.
Yeah, that's right. There's football, modern football in action there, right there for you, listeners. Well, I mean, that worked out quite nicely for us because, it means we don't get drunk we get slightly less drunk when they start.
Yes.
Play in that game against Italy, which should be a decent game, but I got a feeling that's going to end in a draw. I think that Italy start pretty slowly and I think that that's going to end in a draw.
Yeah, but you've got to remember that we are shit.
Well, I mean, yes, but let's not allow, reality to cloud our optimism, I mean, it's just, I'm adopting a position of, realistic positivity for this World Cup. I think that England will give it their best and I don't see any reason why we can't get a point off Italy, and then after that, the building blocks and the foundations have been laid.
I know we don't normally make predictions, but I'm going to stick my neck out here on the script. I think we are going to go through.
I think we're going to go through too.
However, I think for our first knockout game, we're going to have 4 players on suspension, I think.
Yeah.
Because I think during the England-Italy game, I think we're going to have probably 2 players sent off in that game. And I think in England-Uruguay, I think we'll have the same number of players sent off.
I don't think we're going to have any players sent off, but I think we're just going to pick up an awful lot of yellow cards because we're going to be really physical and tired, and we'll get lazy. Not lazy, but weary.
Irritable.
A bit grouchy. Yeah. You're looking at us in the kind of you don't get it this whatsoever. But
I get it. I was debating.
Don't carry that expression because with the scarf you look a bit French. Yeah.
How dare you?
Yeah, I'm afraid so.
I was just, when you were talking about us being physical, I was thinking that maybe we wouldn't be physical. We'd just be normal, and that Uruguay and Italy would spend 90 minutes throwing themselves around the pitch.
Well, there is that.
I think
Italy-Uruguay is going to be an absolute cracker of a match, and that's on my birthday.
It'll be just a falling down competition.
No.
Won't it?
No, not at all.
It will be. It'll be like the people of Judea where they all killed themselves.
It'll be Cavani getting lumps kicked out of him by whoever is in the Italian.
Yeah, defense. Although in fairness, I mean, they've got a few hatchet men in that Uruguay side themselves.
Yes.
Did I not hear that Pirlo has sustained an injury and is maybe I don't know how long he'll be away for. But I mean, that could be an issue for Italy.
They'll put him together with double-sided sticky tape and
yes, they may well
to
do
to try and get him out.
And
there,
the
match
depends, obviously, on whether or not Balotelli turns up for this one. He was excellent in Euro 2012. How well will he be? How good will he be for this one? Uruguay, obviously Suarez and Cavani, everyone knows about them.
And I'm sure they have other players
as well. And there are other players there as well, although, yeah, I mean, maybe they're not necessarily quite up to that, but, I mean, they've certainly got a good side. They won the Copa America and have finished third in the last World Cup, so they're expecting good things from them, and that's why they are the top seed. So, I mean, it's going to be a tasty group. I don't know anything about Costa Rica. I only think I've seen Brian Ruiz once, and I'm not even sure I'm convinced I've seen that, so I have no idea what's going to happen with them, but I'm going to be arrogant and say that we're better than them and we're going to win. So,
there's a lot of predictions being made here, considering we have a policy of no predictions.
Well, I think we can waive that for World Cups, because that's all part of the fun.
I think it's a sticky start for us, but I think if you look at the teams in Group C, I think if we do manage to get through that group, now I don't think we'd have any fear against Colombia, Ivory Coast, Greece and Japan. I think, not inconsiderable teams, but certainly...
That's Group C, isn't it?
Yeah.
But that's if we top the group, though, isn't it?
No, that's either way. If we top the group, we play the runner-up in Group C. If we're runner-up in Group D, we play the
Yeah, well, I mean, I would fear the Colombians.
Yeah.
But
I think if we overcome Uruguay, then...
But that's true. Well, yes, I mean, in fairness, if we can get past... If we can navigate past Uruguay and Italy... Then we should fear no one until we get to the Spanish or the Germans.
Yeah. Well,
the Dutch, but I'm not so sure.
The Spanish or the Brazilians might be waiting for us in the quarterfinals, but
well, that's perfectly respectable. I mean, we don't want to get carried away.
No, we avoid Germany until the semi-finals.
Right. So
that's
we
handy.
You mean we avoid Germany?
Yes. Terry, have you had your ears to the ground about the reaction in Germany?
I haven't been paying attention to what the reaction in Germany has been, but I imagine that they're probably very confident that they'll make their way through. It is called the group of death. They call it their group of death. They think that that's a very tough group. I'm less than convinced. I think that is Germany and Portugal and possibly Ghana. And apologies to American listeners, but...
You're not good enough.
I don't think that the US are all that personally. So I think that's probably the consensus. But I don't think it's that much of a group of death. I think they're probably quite confident that they'll make it through. I don't think that Germany will win the World Cup, but they should certainly have enough to get through that group.
Will the hipsters be watching Group F with Bosnia, Iran, Nigeria, and Argentina?
Yeah, it's definitely is one for the contrarians, isn't it? It's one for the football heads. I mean, I like that group.
There's some nice ties in there. Well, I think Bosnia playing their first World Cup game against Argentina. I think that's exactly.
Baptism of fire.
You're not human if you're not looking forward to that game. We're not doing football properly, I think, if you're not looking forward to that game. I mean, Iran as well. That's a difficult one. But they're the team that I think bring that lost. Revive that lost sense of mystery about World Cups from the past.
Yeah.
When you never used to watch that much. There's hardly any like global football on. Mm. The internet didn't exist or barely existed. And teams from other countries and other continents were genuine mysteries. They didn't play in European leagues. You didn't get to see them. And, you know, you do nothing about them. And I think there's an element of that with Iran. There's a couple of European, maybe more than a couple of European-based players in there. Mm. Ashkan Dejaga and the chap from Braunschweig, the goalkeeper, who's very used to picking the ball out of the back of the net. But apart from that, there will be a bit of a mystery. So it'll be interesting to see how well they do. Looking forward to seeing them play. So yeah, that's a decent group. What do you reckon on Belgium's group? Because everyone's Everyone around over here, I think, is quite fancies Belgium to do really, really well.
I think, yeah,
all them players they've got.
Yes, I think. If you follow the Premier League, then yeah, definitely, because most of them play here. I think they've got a very comfortable group there with Algeria, Russia, and South Korea. They've got no excuse not to win that group.
Do you think so? What do you think about? South Korea and Russia have got some pedigree in World Cups.
Mm.
Belgium have virtually none in recent years. No question that they've got really good players. But yeah, I mean, that's still a big question mark over them. Will they have the stomach to go through with it?
Yeah, of course, if they slip up and they finish second, there is the possibility of a very mouth-watering tie against Germany in the second round.
Yeah, yeah.
Which
Bundesliga versus Premier League.
Mm, yes,
which would be an interesting, and much more interesting Bundesliga versus Premier League clash than Germany versus England. A touch one-sided, but this would be a bit. That'll be a lot more like it. I'd like to see that.
Mm. Yeah, France got off easy.
France. Yeah. How do you feel about that, Frenchie?
There's your new club.
Jean?
I'm trying to find France's group on my iPhone.
Well, just look over here.
Look over this way.
They're in with Switzerland, Ecuador and Honduras. So I think that they've, after having, you know, everyone saying, oh, well, you know, who knows what's going to happen, you know, and it's all a bit conspiratorial, isn't it? Sort of like, you know, the ghost of Jules Rimet, sort of like, you know, coming along and warming the balls at the...
Well,
not saying the World Cup draw is fixed. Just saying that the ghost of Jules Rimet came along and warmed a couple of balls. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So I think anybody who thinks that there's corruption going into football doesn't know what they're talking about, clearly.
Do you think then as soon as Sir Geoff Hurst walked off the set, he ripped off his big plastic mask and Sam Sodgy was underneath?
Sam Sodgy, yes, indeed.
I think that's exactly what happened.
Because he collected his money and then went.
I think that's what...
£50,000, please.
I think that's what Greg Dyke was doing when he was drawing his thumb across his neck. He was, he's going to take his mask off.
I can see the zip.
Yeah.
You
can see the line, yeah.
Take your mask off.
Yeah.
Come on, what do you think? Well, we want to hear your opinion on France.
Well, you know, I like to see France get spanked and humiliated.
Well, they open the World Cup against Honduras. Wouldn't that be hilarious?
Banana skin.
Mm.
Yeah, to be honest with you, my opinion on that group is that I have no opinion, but I would just like to see France humiliated.
It's funny because Switzerland are the top seed, and even though Switzerland are one of the highest ranked teams in the world and they got a top seed as a consequence, no one rates them. No one at all rates them. So I'd be really interesting to see whether or not they might...
Well, it'd be interesting to see if the pedigree you talked about might play a part in
that. Well, those strangers to international tournaments, they tend to be a bit dull, but they're not, you know, they know their way around these things, so...
Mm. We're jumping around a bit, but we're just giving you a flavour of it. Group C is quite interesting, because this is one of our predictions. Group C kicks off with Colombia versus Greece, and although we picked it out last week as being in Group E, this is what the first tie we picked out for that group. So... Colombia, Greece, and another pairing that we selected together: Ivory Coast and Japan.
Yeah, but not in the same group.
But not in the same group. It's amazing how it all comes together, isn't it? You see.
Well, Ivory Coast have got a lot to prove, haven't they?
I think they've got a really good chance there.
Yeah, they have a good chance. I think all of those teams in there will fancy their chances.
Yeah, definitely.
And even Greece. I think Greece will always be optimistic. That's the spirit of 2004.
Mm.
Doesn't go away. I think they'll always feel they've got a chance. Ivory Coast have got a bit of a millstone because they haven't won anything despite coming terribly close in doing so. And Japan are really good.
Yeah, oh, well, I think...
Really good.
Any of those teams would possibly feel sort of like they could have a chance of getting to the quarterfinals because they might be facing England.
That's your group of life, right?
Your group of life.
Group of
now, talk about groups of actual death.
Group B. Of actual death.
Actual death.
We usually try and find out one that's most likely to start a war. I'm happy to say that none have actually...
Considering how the World Cup final went last time out, The fact that Group B starts off with a replay of that rather bloody encounter.
Spain v. The Netherlands.
Yes. Mm. Are we seeing the two teams that are going to go through, or Chile going to upset the apple
scots? Chile is supposed to be really good.
Are Chile going to top that group?
Well,
are Spain going to go out of the group stage?
Well, I mean, this is the thing. There's that any number of things that could happen now. I mean, I think the only thing that we can be absolutely certain of... is that I don't think Australia are going to make it through.
But at the moment, I don't think they really care because they're spanking us in the
ears. Yeah, no. Well, obviously, the best player is Mitchell Thomas, but he's a cricketer. So
Mitchell Johnson.
Mitchell Johnson, yeah, not Mitchell Thomas. But anyway, it doesn't undermine the quality of my gag. No. Well, it does slightly.
It does, actually.
Yeah, okay, all right, fine. Whatever. Right. But, yeah, I mean, Chile are said to be really, really, really very, very good. Mm. I think that if Spain have got the appetite for it, then there's no reason why they can't go through. I think there's a big question mark about Spain, not because of the quality of their players, but just simply because, how long can you just keep winning football matches? Sooner or later, you wonder whether or not there might be an outside chance, or they might just turn up there and just go, I've had enough of this. Can't do this anymore.
It can't
and they might blow, much like the England team in Australia at the moment of the Ashes. Oh shit, we seem to have run out of everything.
I think the order of the matches in this group is what's going to be key, and I think Australia will have something to say in this. It might be by just how many goals they lose by in each of these games. But I think with Spain and Netherlands kicking off the tournament, I mean, Spain have got their two toughest games first, and then they've got Australia.
Yeah.
So they're the ones going to be playing catch-up in that final round.
Yeah.
And be sweating as to what the result is going to be between Holland and Chile, I think. Yeah. So I think
a key game could be that Australia versus Netherlands. Yeah. Netherlands apparently are bringing a young team with them, relatively speaking a young team. They're going through something of a transition.
Yeah.
And that Australia side, they're no mugs. I mean, I know it's fun to take the mickey out of them, because at the moment it's all we have. And they have taken some heavy defeats, but they're hardened pros in that Aussie side, and they'll be desperate to prove a point. And I think they might see Netherlands as a slightly weak link there. That could be a key game. I don't know. I'm not saying Australia will win it, but it could be a key game in some way, shape, or form.
Interesting group, that one.
Yeah,
I don't think, as you said, it's a group of actual death, though.
I don't think there's any actual dying going to be going on in that group.
No.
That's my prediction.
No.
Mm-hmm. Good. That's a good
prediction. Maybe a group of actual death needs teams like Brazil and Mexico in together.
Yeah.
Well, Group A does have Brazil and Mexico together, along with Croatia and Cameroon.
Oh, so it does. Yeah.
Mm.
And Croatia, I don't know why I'm being surprised. I've looked at this bloody draw over and over again.
I thought you were just feigning surprise.
Oh, sorry, I am, yes. I was also making a joke about Mitchell Thomas Johnson... whatever his name is.
Anyway, I think that'll be a good group. Mexico and Brazil, I meant to say. I think that'd be good. Derby.
Yeah, do you think so?
Yeah.
Call that a derby game?
Yeah, I would. Derby game.
Only the 3,000 miles between them.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, but
Plymouth and Carlisle, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, don't be ridiculous.
It's a North and South America derby.
I think that is a derby game. Definitely.
Right,
it'll be a grudge match.
they'll be getting the pubs
early.
Yeah, well, you know. I mean, there's probably is there more difference between them and Croatia and Cameroon, I'm asking.
I don't think there really is that much difference there.
Well, another two sets of derbies. Jesus. No, that is the group of death. That really, the passions are going to be running high in that group, aren't they?
Well, you would have to say that Brazil could be pleased with themselves with that one, because all of those three teams, I don't know too much about Cameroon's path to the final, so I will exclude them. But Mexico struggled to get there, and Croatia struggled to get there. You might have to say that Brazil have got a clear. At least a good chance of getting out.
They do, but of course, what they do face is whoever comes through Group B,
right?
So with Spain, Netherlands,
so
and
there
Chile.
Could be a Spain Brazil second round match.
There could be, yeah,
which would be a replay of the Confederations Cup final from last year, which of course Brazil won 3-0. And that really could mess things up in a very, very big way if Brazil were to lose to Spain in that game.
Yes.
That would really mess up the World Cup. That would break the World Cup, I suspect. I think that I suspect the Brazilian public will just go, yeah, right then. So, shall we watch some polo? Is there anything else on? And that'll be that. Yes. So let's hope that doesn't happen, eh?
Of course, Chile could get through and end up playing Brazil. And then they've got three consecutive derby matches.
You and your derbies. You do love your derbies in the World Cup, don't you?
World Cup derbies. Well, that's where it's all... Yeah.
I'm going to have to go through now and see if there are any actual derbies. Switzerland, France. There you go. I'll give you that one. Yeah. I'll give you that one. They share a border. Portugal, Germany. No.
What?
No. Are you trying to say that Portugal, Germany?
No. That would be ridiculous.
Are you sure? Mm. Yeah. Belgium, Algeria.
Belgium, Russia.
Belgium, Russia.
I'd actually prefer you to go Belgium, Algeria there.
Algeria. Now that's stretching point.
Yes. Oh, yeah. It is. It is. Well, there you go. That's the World Cup anyway. And that all kicks off on June the 12th next year. So we've still got
a bit of football to play before then.
Oh yeah, we've got a hell of a lot. We've got a whole season to finish up. Yeah. Haven't
we? Yeah. I know. One where Crystal Palace, qualify for the Europa League.
Crystal Palace. This is the team that in the last five games.
Lazarus United.
The last five games has matched the performances of have won the same number of points as Arsenal, Chelsea, Manchester
form.
City.
Championship form. Absolutely.
Have conceded one goal in five games.
The very same Crystal Palace.
Yes.
The very same.
But remarkably, they're still 19th. It's.
Well, it's a measure of just how far they'd fallen.
Given everyone a head start, though.
Well, they were buoyed by my rallying cry in Sound of Football's Pass In.
Yes, And they're only 9 points behind Man United, so they'll eat that after a while.
Coming for you, Moisey. Coming for you.
You see, Moisey's already looking over his shoulder.
I can't finish below the table in Crystal Palace. I really will lose my job. In fact, he's probably got a clause in his contract that he waives the balance of the 6 years of his contract if he ends the season below Crystal Palace.
The Palace clause.
The Palace clause.
Mm. Some tough fixtures coming up, though. For
We've got to get to the Bridge.
Yes.
We've also got, I think we might have Liverpool as well.
And Man City, I think.
And Man City, and I think Newcastle as well.
Yeah.
So I forget the next one where realistically we've got a win up is not till next year. So, it's great at the moment. It's good. I'm enjoying it right now, but I'm obviously realistic that it's not quite as straightforward as it sounds. But if we can get anything out of those games, then well.
Yeah, and Sunderland will have a break of luck soon, won't they? And they'll run. I'm sure he's overdue, isn't it?
Yeah, I thought they played really well against Chelsea, and I thought they were okay again on Saturday against Spurs. So I'm really not worried by the fact that we're rooted to the bottom of the division. I think we'll be all right in the end.
And Arsenal?
Oh, happy days at the moment, isn't it?
Yeah.
But,
Bears to lose.
Arsenal have got some tricky games themselves coming up.
We've all got tricky games.
Yeah.
Who's top of the league?
Right? I wouldn't be surprised.
Who's top of the league right now?
Arsenal top of the league. Arsenal 5 points clear at top of the league.
Yeah.
We have to go. We've got to go to the. No, we haven't got the Bridge. We've got Chelsea coming to us.
Okay.
So
that'll be a tough one.
Yeah. Chelsea have got Liverpool. Have got Liverpool as well. The two teams above them. So they do have matters in their own hand. If they turn in a good couple of performances, they could be top at Christmas.
It's an interesting league this season, actually.
Yeah, very.
I mean, it's quite good. Yeah. So it's good to see. It's good to see somebody who's not either Manchester United, Manchester City, or indeed Chelsea at the top of the table. It's nice to see someone else. It is also quite nice. The romantic in me is quite nice to see Liverpool sort of like, decent again.
Yeah.
Seriously decent, looking like they can
And Everton as well. They were amazing yesterday. Absolutely incredible yesterday.
It doesn't reflect too well at the moment on Moyes because Everton are sort of seem to be quite a bit better since he's gone, but that's a bit harsh.
Yeah,
December, so there's the whole season to go. Yeah, they are looking great, and it's a vindication of Roberto Martinez. There were those who thought, how good is he really?
Yeah,
well, it does look like he's pretty good.
Yeah, he's good.
So it's working out really well. And City are good as well because they're really, really good. But they have this funny thing where they can't seem to do very well away from home. Yeah. Which is all adding to a really nice sort of like, it's a bit of a patch.
Nice and open.
And United's downfall is fun for those of us who grow weary of watching them win all the time. Yeah. So, you know, it's quite nice.
I hope...
I don't want to keep it up.
I like Moyes, and I would hate to think that Man United turned into another just kind of back 'em and sack 'em kind of...
The other slightly worrying thing... Yeah, no, they don't want to be like that. They don't want to be that kind of club, because they haven't been that kind of club. And I don't think they're very good at it. It's not in their DNA. They'd be no good at backing of sacking and rehiring and sacking and hiring. That isn't something that they do. Also, the other thing about it is that I think they're probably financially, you'll know more about this, Graham, but I think financially they're in probably quite a parlous state because there's been so much money that's been taken out of that club in order to service somebody else's debt that if they don't qualify for the Champions League, you'd have to wonder what it would do to their share price. But I'll defer to my colleagues' greater knowledge on this. But, they really do... and that would be bad for English football if Manchester United were to go into some kind of long-term decline. Very bad indeed.
Yes.
And no one will come out of that looking very good.
Yeah.
Yes. No. That's very, very true. I don't think it's going to be that long. I mean, I think Man United are going to turn a corner very soon. I don't think people are talking about just how ordinary that team is looking, though. Front they look good. I mean, Rooney's having
well
a fantastic season.
He's doing really well.
And Van Persie's been injured, which is tricky. When Kagawa plays well, he looks awesome.
Yeah,
but it doesn't always happen. Yeah. They don't often play. I mean, I think personally they'll do what has to be done against Shakhtar Donetsk. I think they'll beat Shakhtar Donetsk.
Yeah.
I think they'll respond as well, which is quite good because Bayer Leverkusen are kind of hoping that that's what happens, so that they can beat Real Sociedad. But I think that they'll respond to their two defeats with a victory in the Champions League, where they do seem to be doing some of their best work.
But
you're probably right. You're probably right. They'll turn it around and make a try. But it'd certainly be hard to imagine them winning the championship from here.
Mm.
And it's just the measure of just what a good coach, a good manager Alex Ferguson was.
Well, yeah, because that squad isn't that much different.
No, really. Not really.
Yeah.
No. Or rather, it's probably the idea of just how imposing a figure he was. But when he's gone, that the players just can't bring themselves to raise themselves to that kind of intensity that they could under Alex Ferguson, for whatever reason and whatever motivation that he had. Even if it was putting the fear of God into them, which I suspect he was probably very good at doing. I imagine he cuts a very intimidating figure to Sir Alex.
Well, we've had a nice long chat this week.
It has been long. And no top trumps as well.
Oh, no, we've got some top trumps.
Oh, we have got top trumps.
Yes,
it's going to be even longer.
Yes.
We've got an extended version here.
Stay tuned after the music, listeners, because we've got some more top trumps. Yes, we're going to listen to Jan win again.
You can contact us through our website, sofpodcast.com, via Twitter, @soundoffootball, or on facebook.com/soundoffootball.
Yes, it's time again once more for Sound of Football Top Trumps. It's all very tense around the table now. Listeners, your pack has become seriously depleted. You are now down to six cards. Hopefully there'll be a turnaround. You've got some good cards, you've got some good players in this pack. But of course, it really depends on which attribute Jan's going to go for today. He's there, busy there, studying his cards, looking at his opposition.
He's giving me eyes.
Giving me eyes.
Yeah.
Trying to read from our expressions.
Yeah. Which is his weakest point? Is it his year of birth?
How old is he?
Is it his height? Maybe it's the number of trophies. Maybe I've got Scott Parker.
International caps. I think he's got Scott Parker.
He's got Scott Parker. Here we go.
Scott Parker came up not too long ago, so I think he's probably still deep in the pack there, but who knows? Well, I know one person who knows.
It's Jan. Let's find out.
So come on.
Joe Hart.
Yes.
Joe Hart.
Joe the Hitman Hart. Yes.
Whose full name is Charles Joseph John Hart.
Joan Hart? Joe Hart, sorry. Wait.
Not John.
Uh-huh.
John. Height, 191.
Oh, well, like, he's a bit of a tall boy, isn't he?
Beats my 169 from Iniesta, who is not 191.
And beats my 183 from Ian Robin. I didn't realise he was that tall.
He is quite a big fella, actually. He's a deceptively big fella, is Arjen.
That's my height.
Oh, I'm quite pleased. I win again.
Yes, well done. Yes, and we learned something new as well.
And we did indeed. Yes. And the listeners are looking in at listeners looking like the luck for the next to go.
Listeners are down to five. Repeat, five cards.
So
it could just be a two-horse race very soon.
Early season bitching is.
How dare you? It's no bitching.
Has come to naught.
It's bad sportsmanship.
Join us again next time, listeners, for some more Sound of Football.
Yeah, so you
believe top trumps.
You're a lousy sportsman. Oh,
shut
and you
up.
Know it.
Yeah.